board meeting will follow. Also, a couple of little things. I know you'll want to rush back there. We put the photo albums of our trip to Israel in the church library that one of the church members who remained nameless was so kind to organize. If you want to look at them, I was a lot better looking back then. I was 50 years old. Now I'm 100. all of our bulletin boards have been spruced up, cleaned up, made to look real nice. And one member of the church showed me on their phone, and I'll get with this session, one showed me that they'd ran down pictures of the real Mount Sinai with the blackened top. And they showed me, I scrolled through it. Thank you. That's pretty cool. All right, let's rebound if you need to do so. Generic rebound works. Jesus taught his disciples to pray. One of the things in it that Jesus never had to do. Well, a couple things he never had to do. He never had to believe in himself for salvation. And he never had to confess his sins because he never sinned. So if you don't sin, you don't have to confess them. But he taught them to pray, forgive us our sins, and so forth. So generic rebound works. And wherever you're at, whatever you're doing, try to keep tabs on that throughout the day and on top of your get your STA back in its cage, so to speak. All right. We will pick up here with the rest of this analysis. I wanted to emphasize here, I don't know if it struck you like it did me, but it's been a while since I've really, and this is the place, I don't know, Romans is a place to do it. This is the place to expose the doctrine of positive and negative volition at God consciousness. It's really a big deal because it explains so much. How can God be fair with all these Gentiles, say, back in the day out there in the world, and they never heard the gospel? The gospel wasn't universally proclaimed by any agency. Gentiles who were positive could travel to Israel, but I don't know how convenient that would be. And they did, seeking answers, as Jesus himself said, my Father's house is a house of prayer for all nations. And they could come there and get exposed to the gospel there. But many of these people never did get exposed. And without the gospel and without believing that the Messiah is coming or has come, you can't be saved. You can't get away from this condemnation factor that we're born under. So this answers it. This answers it. God knows who would believe, and he gets them the gospel based on the God consciousness factor, positive volition at God consciousness. Not just God consciousness. That doesn't get you anywhere. That gets you somewhere, but it doesn't get you on this road to finding the solution to the sin problem. Okay? So, as we saw last time, we were on point 75, almost here. Last class, we showed that you're supposed to read, or you're not supposed to, but you read verse 16. Verse 16 should be read right after verse 12. Then that makes perfect sense. The rest is parenthetical. The continuation of the thought, for all who have sinned without the law, negative volition at God consciousness, will also perish without the law. That's the eternal factor. And all who have sinned under the law will be judged by the law. And then 16. Because if you think that 16 follows 15 naturally, it doesn't. It's like, what? We'll go off talking about the last judgment. After we had a parenthesis about the culpability of the Gentiles with regard to the, they have a law, they are a law to themselves, their conscience. This is really important and good information to know. It's excellent, if I say so myself. Not because I'm, the best presenter, but this is really really good information, which in most churches, you never hear it. You would not hear it. In fact, if you heard them referring to these verses, they think sin refers to some personal sinning. Everyday sinning stuff. No. It's a specific sin. It's the sin of negative volition at God awareness, which will always lead to negative volition at gospel hearing, regardless. Of course, we don't know who these people are. Only God knows who these people are. We witness to all like we're told to. It's not a brief on don't witness. Not at all. We don't know. He hasn't given us, that guy won't be interested. No bother. So that's the natural reading of this here. Judged under the law, judged by the law, perish without law and be judged by the law on a day. A specific day. Just like today is a specific day on the calendar that will come and go. Tomorrow, this will be past time. On a day. When according to my gospel, God will judge the secrets of men through Christ Jesus. In all fairness to all those people there, because, I mean, any contemplation of eternal wrath just almost makes you shudder. The imagining that someone is cut off into eternal wrath in a situation where there is no escape, you can't die and get out of it, you can't kill yourself and get out of it, there is no fun. There are no smiles, no jokes, nothing but eternal grinding misery of soul and of body. See, God takes his plan seriously. He's put out this grace plan that all you got to do, as we saw again for the umpteenth time in the first session, is to make one decision to believe in Jesus Christ. Doesn't cost you anything. You don't have to, quote, unlike some churches maybe, you don't have to give up anything. You just got to believe. That's what he told the warden in that prison, that unnamed warden whom we'll meet in heaven, who almost killed himself and was delivered by Paul so he could be delivered from spiritual death. God will show each and every person, point 76, that they did not want to seek Him, even at the most basic level. You probably heard maybe from, I don't know, teachers and stuff about the Bible. And we'll have a verse coming up in the next chapter. It's a quotation from the Old Testament. It says they do not seek God. It sounds like it's a contradiction from this. But I refer you back to verse 7 here, and then I'll explain that to you. The verb isn't the simple verb to seek. It's translated like the simple verb to seek, zeteo. But when you put an ek on front of it, ek zeteo, you know what that means? That means diligently seek God. Also, the last judgment will expose the fallacy of salvation by good deeds. That's the book of works. Good deeds, good things, even very commendable things. Raising a family, being a good husband, wife, being a good employee, blah, 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 blah. Good citizen. Contributing to charity. Helping people out. You know, a good personality. Say he's a good guy. You know, he's a good guy. It used to be back in the day that when you said someone, and this is before a number of it, you say, that guy is square. It came to mean something completely different. Back in the day, that this guy is square, you could count on him. If he said something, you could take it to the bank. That's how we switch things around. He's on the square. Means he's honest, you can rely on him, Boom. And he doesn't even have to be a believer. But all his good does not offset his sin. Some people are real proud of their morality too. Pride's a bad sin. They're real impressed with themselves. Anyway, Jesus Christ will administer the last judgment, John 12. Here's Jesus, lowly Jesus, right? Does he look like did he look like to these figures that he's going to be this final judge that would sit over all humanity? In fact, he will judge all humanity. Believers have a separate judgment. We will be judged and evaluated as believers immediately after we're resurrected off this earth. We will be caught up in the air and we'll appear before the Bema seat and we'll have all of our human good and divine good revealed. Our human good, in some way, in some depictation I can't envisage, when you're dealing with millions and millions and millions of church age believers, in some way it'll be right in front of your face, and what you get coming is your divine good. All that I have done, you've done out of fellowship, even the right thing, it'll be burned up. How you burn up a work, I don't know. And how you reward one, I don't know. I don't think you're going to have a U-Haul to carry off all of your SG3. Or maybe just put it in your hip pocket. I don't know how that works. That's a secret. That's a secret. Even the resurrection body, though we can say it's just like Christ, and we can deduce some things from when he appeared with his disciples after his resurrection, we can deduce that it's going to be this, this, and this. But beyond that, we hit a stone wall. We just got to wait and see. All right, our verse here. 12:48. He who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him at the last day. All right, Acts 10:42. And this is just obvious. It's fitting that Jesus Christ, who bore the sins of the world and was treated the way he was at the first advent, was abandoned by nearly everybody, is elevated to this height. And he ordered us to preach to the people and solemnly to testify that this is the one who has been appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead. And 2 Timothy 4:1. See, people out here today, you know, well, it's been true. It's not just today, but these people aren't taking their afterlife destiny seriously. They're concerned with, you know, the temporal realm. 4:1. Paul to Timothy, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, and then the charge for, correspondence where Paul had with his disciple and pastor teacher, protege, 1 Timothy, that he is told what. And this is my mandate too. Proclaim the word. Oh, that. Huh? You mean I got to teach the Bible? If it's in there, it's worth bringing to people's attention at the right time and the right place. Proclaim the word, not other stuff, politics, all this other mess that's out there. Proclaim the word. Be ready. That means for me. Timothy, be prepared. Be ready. In season and out of season. I've had my share of out of season stuff. Where it was not easy, and under pressure, and I have to get up here and teach. Out of season. It could be a health test, it could be a people test, it could be whatever it is. Don't say, I'm not going to do it because it's out of season. And then here's what I'm supposed to do. And some people don't like this either. Reprove. Point out where people are out of line, like a parent would reprove a child for misbehavior. Reprove. Rebuke. That's in the same vein. Exhort. With great patience. See, I got to do the great patience thing. Why can't they get this? Why don't they get with this? Why are they acting this way now after all this time? Great patience and instruction. For the time will come, and we're dead in it, when they will not endure sound doctrine. They doesn't refer to unbelievers. That would be stupid to be saying unbelievers don't endure sound doctrine. It's believers. They will not handle sound doctrine. They want a music program. They want to break everybody up into little classes. They want to cater to you because of some social issue. You are ex-druggie, or you're divorced, or you're wah, 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 or you're a teenager. Teenagers come in here and they get to about 13, I think. So, they will not endure sound. That's a prophecy. But wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers, multiple teachers, following this guy on TV today, following this and this and all this other mess, and accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. But you, be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist. People always used to kid me because they'd tell me, I always knew when we had visitors, Jack. It's like I could have been blind and I knew there was a visitor here. Well, I'm evangelizing them with not just Gospel 1, but Gospel 2, the importance of Bible doctrine. See, any takers. Fulfill your ministry. And then Paul goes on to talk about, I'm ready to check out my departure. I'm going face to face with the Lord. He's in prison in Rome when he wrote this, and he's going to be martyred. Revelation 20:11, finally. That's the great white throne judgment. The great white throne judgment is introduced in verse 11. Following the Gog and Magog. We have the briefest account of the Gog and Magog event. I mean, it's just... But remember that in the millennium, the gift of prophecy will surface again. So they'll probably have more details on this. But we got this sketch that after the 1,000 years of peace, no demons and Satan to mess with people, just their SDAs and their volition. The 1,000-year reign of Christ will be free from that, but Satan will be released from hell where he was assigned at the second advent. And will come out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together for the war. The number of them is like the sand of the seashore. Whoa! Is this hyperbole? It's a lot of people. If you have 1,000 years of perfect environment, relatively speaking, minimal disease, people aren't like they are today and have been, killing people all over the earth. Let's bomb Syria. Oh yeah, that's great. Syria has done so much bad to us. And there's little kids down there. There's people down there that are dying. We don't have any business there. We don't have any business in Afghanistan. We're chasing terrorists. We found the terrorists. They're us. No, I'm not exaggerating. We don't have any business. And now we're trying to provoke Russia via the Ukraine deal. Just keep poking that bear. And he's going to arise and devour much flesh. You know, wouldn't it be funny? It comes out that if you'd have just got along with Putin and Russia, and quit being a bunch of jackasses and bullies and sanctions and all this other stuff. It wouldn't have come to you from them. It's going to have to be desperate before Russia releases her arsenal on this country. Because you've got to think about it if you're a Russian. That stuff's going to boomerang. You're going to fill the air with all this radioactive mess. It's like that ash down there in St. Vincent that's coming out of that volcano. Those islands in the Caribbean. People are evacuating like crazy because that ash is so dense you'll suffocate. So what's going to make Russia that, quote, desperate? Well, we'll have to wait. That all has to be waited out. Probably won't even know that until after the rapture. Because historical events come into play. Then after the Gog, and all you have all these people, and Satan, you wonder why certain people get taken in by other people. That person had so much doctrine and it got fooled. I said, it's because they're listening to Satan. Not literally. They're listening to someone who is under their STA, under the emotional revolt of the soul, wants something different, and starts talking to this person, texting them. And just instead of sending them that deal with the thumbs down, not the other finger. Would not be Christian. That you're not interested. You need me to help you? I'll be glad to. But they're not. I love you. I care about you. What that's worth. But I'm not interested in any of this mess. I'm riding this horse to the end. This horse has done me well. And I'm sticking with it. I hope you do too. If you get to talk to anybody, get in fellowship. Try that. And it's the basic thing that you exhort people. You say, well, they'll just get mad. Fine. That's their problem. We are to exhort one another all the more as we see the day coming. Get in class. Make this your priority. But anyway, here's the thing. Satan, Christ, and the royal family, and all these other Old Testament saints and everything, we've been on earth for 1,000 years. Christ is ruling from Jerusalem, and it's nothing shabby. And these people have all benefited under his reign. They don't have to send their sons off to war. They're not releasing COVID on people. They're not doing any of this crazy stuff. And no false religions running around. And they still are negative. I guess it goes back to our doctrine. They were born, they saw all of it, and they didn't want any part of it. But then you've got to have somebody feed their negative volition. And who better to do it than Satan? I figured out a way to overcome this. It took me 1,000 years in hell, but I got another way. Yeah, right on. Yeah, right on. And then you can just show them this passage. Right here. Because the knowledge of God during the 1,000 years among the nations, the new nations, will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. You won't get some guy on the news saying, well, what's Mother Nature doing today? It'll be God did it. No rain over here on these people because they did not send a delegation to the Feast of Tabernacles. So they got the faucet shut off on their rain. I know it's in the prophecies. Okay? So they got all this evidence, right? Christ victorious in his resurrection body and you and I in ours, and we've interacted with him. And they go negative. It's criminal. But they do, and they're allowed to, and they attack the center of Christ's government in verse 9, and it's so easy to overcome this. Fire comes down out of heaven and they're reduced to ashes. And their souls go to hell. For just a little bit. And then we come to the end. Satan's kicked off to the lake of fire. I just want you to know the career of Satan. He's during the 1,000 years, he's in hell below. And it's in Isaiah when he comes down there, what all the people he fooled have to say to him. They chide him. Oh, it's you who weaken the nations. And they remind you of his revolutionary manifesto. How do they know that? There's things I don't know, but I'm just trying to be a reporter. And the lake of fire already has two inhabitants. The false prophet and the Antichrist. When they get taken out down at the second advent, they're not put back in hell, where they've been for however many years, if I'm right about who the false prophet is, Nostradamus. That's just my guess. I took the most famous one that people knew about that I could guess that was anti-Catholic when he was on earth. This Jew. I know he's a Jew. I know that false prophet's a Jew. Anyway, he's kicked off where they're at. And then we have the white throne judgment that follows. See, John received all this in a vision between his ears. It wasn't something external to him. It was up here. It's like living theater in the soul. All these increments that build up this book of Revelation. And he's out here on a little island in the Mediterranean Sea. Patros, he's on that little island. It's a work colony. He's a prisoner. He's out there. He's persecuted. But he's out there. He's an old man. You can make the righteous suffer, but you can't keep them down. God's going to vindicate them. And he gave John the book of Revelation out there on that penal colony. And he saw, this was one of the episodes. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found of them. Another reference to the dissolving of the original creation. Everything's gone. But in order to do that, you first of all had to resurrect the dead, right? Because you can't take that all out, because their bodies need to be brought out of their tombs. Or whatever kind of tomb, conventional one, or scattered over the face of the earth as a result of being on ground zero in a nuclear bomb blast and vaporized into the atmosphere. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged from the things which are written in the books according to their deeds. The last judgment does not involve sins. And then this goes back to before heaven and earth fled away, and the dead, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it. A lot of people, think of all the people that died in the water of the flood. Or people that just naturally, throughout history, have perished in the ocean. Ships going down and the like. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them. The underworld. That's where the souls are. And they were judged, every one of them, according to their deeds. Then death and Hades. Death, what's the difference between death and Hades? Death is the realm of the physical body. Graveyards, whatever. And then death, their bodies, and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he's thrown into the lake of fire. Well, since you and I have believed in Jesus Christ, all Christians, all our names were written in this book before we ever came on the scene. Foreknowledge. It comes out in Romans 8. God foreknew who would believe and who wouldn't. He's got everything airtight. And that's just what we have to remember here at Maranatha Church. He's in control of the destiny and the history of this church from day one to now to the end. All we got to do is do what we have to do individually. Pay whatever price we have to. It's sad that people bail. But you can't. That's volition, and they apparently wanted something else more. They got talked, in some cases, talked out of their crown. Let no man take your crown. It probably isn't going to be a stranger out here that doesn't know straight up from straight down. You blow them off in a minute. It's someone that's close, that you respect, that has truth, that might be the one to try to poison your well. And I've seen it happen. The believers who've been decades should have just said, I don't want to hear this anymore. And if we're going to have a relationship, I don't want to hear this. Bye-bye. I'm sorry it's this way. I'll pray that if there's anything that wake you up, fine. But beyond that, I don't want to be around this mess. And all the criticisms, we'll get in one of them, slanders. They slander me. See, about different things. They mischaracterize my doctrine, like Paul's my gospel, my doctrine of separation as being a hate monger. I never told you to ever treat anybody bad. And you can befriend people that aren't in church and talk to people, the coffee break at work and whatever it is. I'm just saying that light and darkness cannot coexist. You don't walk in the darkness with them. You know, I don't have fellowship with someone I can't just start talking about the Bible and the things we've learned and have commonality in it. And that includes the flat earth, by the way. That doesn't mean, now see, it'll be taken out of context. It doesn't mean I have to have great patience, and I will be patient. I want to give this in conclusion. We didn't get to our new notes, but we'll pick those up Tuesday. But I just wanted to read. I had found this website, and I put this in here, and they had a video that went with it. Well, it's been taken down. If anyone can find one that's comparable to this, this particular topic, please send it over to me. But this is just a couple short paragraphs. Little history. Immediately after World War II, the U.S. Navy launched the largest military operation ever down to Antarctica, called Operation High Jump. Admiral Byrd, a 33rd degree Freemason, led the expedition of 30 ships and 4,700 militarized soldiers. The mission had three task forces that were sent out in different directions and was to last 6 to 8 months, but the fleet came back in just 6 weeks. Admiral Byrd reported UFO sightings, but that was a public relations ruse. They were really trying to find out about the electromagnetic field above the ice wall and the edge of the dome. You might have heard of it. Just several years later, the U.S. and the Russians began firing over around 50 high-altitude thermonuclear rockets up into the dome with Operation, I'll give the name of this one, Fishbowl. That's a weird one. But flip a fishbowl over and you got a perfect dome. And Dominique, that means Lord. Rockets went haywire. Many had to be aborted as they tried to blast through the dome. In this presentation, we chronicle the history of Antarctic expeditions, as well as demonstrations of how the dome functions, as well as how tidal changes and sun and moon movement occur in the flat earth model. Then both the Russians and the U.S. signed off on a ban on any more tests. Remember, this is at the height of the Cold War. On any more tests of the dome, as the space race and the fake moon missions were sold to the world. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity to learn the truth. Be with us in Christ's name. Amen.